Okay, it's lovely to see you all. We're starting a new topic today, and this one's called The Power of Saying Yes, and just how powerful that is, okay? In Matthew 5 and verse 37, it says, "Let your yes be yes, and your no, no." So this means that when we say yes, it means yes, and when we say no, it means no. The Amplified Bible translates it as affirm yes or no. There's no wavering there, okay? So if you're a parent, parents learn this lesson very early on in the life of your child, that you cannot afford to change your mind. If they ask for sweets and the answer is no, the answer needs to remain no, all the way out of the supermarket, you know? And you cannot give in to them, because the minute you change your mind, you've lost the battle, and many future battles as well, because they know mum is a sucker or dad is a sucker if I just say, please, I really need these sweets, okay? So you need to stick to your guns. So when I'm making a decision for my children, I always, if I don't know if it's going to be a yes or a no, I'll say, I'm not sure. I need to think about it. So I don't tell them yes and then change it to no and vice versa. I'll say, give me a chance to think about this, because keeping our mindset is crucial. And it's the same in our spiritual walk. We need to set our minds and keep them set. So this is from Isaiah 26 and verse 3, and it says this: "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." So this means God will keep us in peace if we keep our mind fixed on him. We can't go chopping and changing it. You know, he loves me, he loves me not. It's not a good way to live. We need to know that God loves us. We can't keep switching between two opinions, because most of us will know the Bible says that makes us double-minded if we keep switching between two things, and then we'll lose our peace. So having a fixed mind means we'll know when to say yes to something and when to say no. So when it comes to God's plan for our life, are we in perfect peace? Is our mind fixed on him with our plan for our life? Are we saying yes to the right things and no to all the wrong things? Okay, Psalm 33 and verse 11 says this: "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." We've been singing this morning about God blessing for all generations. And this scripture talks about that, that God has a plan for all of us. Even if someone's come along and tried to destroy that plan, God's still got a good one. Every good thing that God planned for your life before you were born still stands today and forever to the next generation. He wants to bless us. This says God's purposes stands through all generations. And Hebrews 13 verse 8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so are his plans. So no matter who's come and thrown the curveball or pulled the rug out from under our feet, God's plans are still good, because God is still good. So even if someone said to you, or the enemy's whispering in your ear, this won't happen, it doesn't mean they're right. Even if someone's coming along and saying, you've failed, or the enemy's saying, you're a failure, it doesn't mean he's right. These negative voices, if they don't line up with God's plan, then they're not right. You know, God has the power to change our life, and it's the same power today as it was 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago. He has not run out of power. There's a revelation for us today. God has not run out of power. He's not run out of love. He's not run out of forgiveness. He's not run out of grace. And he has not run out of good plans. He's still got a good plan for every single one of us. He is not old Mother Hubbard, who went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone. And when she got there, the cupboard was bare. And so the poor dog had none. God's cupboard is never bare. It is never empty. His resources are full to the brim and running over. Who used to sing that chorus, running over, running over, my cup's full and running over, even though the actions, still know the actions now. Our cup is full and running over in God. He is the creator of the universe. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, it says in Psalm 50. I remember years ago reading a book about a person who claimed to have been shown heaven as a young boy. And he said when what he saw in heaven was room after room after room of spare body parts. And he said to God, what are these? And God has said to them, these are unclaimed healings. All the parts were there, but they were unclaimed because heaven is full of blessings that God has already said yes to. He's already said yes to grace. And grace is God's unmerited favor. You know, if you think you don't merit it, get in line, because none of us merit it. It's his unmerited favor. I'm reading a very, very old book at the moment by a man named Maxwell White, and the book is called The Power of the Blood. And in this book, he tells a story about his son when he was young, you know, the old-fashioned ovens, and I think the door might have been open on the oven, and his son reversed backwards, and he burnt the backs of his legs on the oven door, and he burnt them quite badly. So Maxwell White and his wife began to pray, and he turned to his wife and his son, he said, it will be okay, because the blood has never lost its power. It's never lost its power. And if you don't go home with anything else today, go home with the fact that the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. The favor of God has never lost its power. The promises of God will stand for all generations, forever. And so Maxwell White and his wife prayed for their son, and I think it was perhaps the next morning, and the burn was completely gone. Everything was healed. Because the blood has never lost its power. Folks, God has not run out of power yet. He's not even got a low battery. He's not even on a low battery. He doesn't even need to plug in the charger. So here's my first revelation today. God's not running out, but perhaps we're not running in. We're not running into the truth. We're not running into his promises. We're not running into the plan and believing it. God's made promises in his word, but we are not running into them on a daily basis. We need to run in and claim what God has already prepared. We can't claim something he's not prepared. I'm not about to start claiming that I'll win £1 million on the lottery, because God does not promise that in his word. He promises that he'll be my provider. You know, maybe if I had £1 million in debt, I might win it, but I don't, praise God. And so you can only claim what he's promised. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for as many as are the promises of God in Christ, they are all answered, yes. Through him we say our amen to the glory of God. So God promises, his promises are all answered. Yes, if we're coming to God and it's a promise of God, he's saying yes. God, you've promised this. Yes. You've promised to meet my needs. Yes. You've promised to heal me. Yes. So God is saying yes. That's an amazing statement. That includes everything that God has planned before sin came into the world to destroy it. All of his promises. And God had a promise for us all along, and it still stands today. God wants to say yes to us, yes to blessing, yes to favor, yes to victory. But there's one little catch there. And I was listening to a preach by a man called Barry Bennett, a very good speaker. And this is what he said. We have to say amen to his yes. And that's exactly what that scripture says. So in Christ, all his promises are yes, and through him, we say amen. We have to say amen to what God has promised. Why? Why do we have to say amen? Because amen means so be it. Sandra, I love you. Amen, so be it. Sandra, I'm going to provide for you. Amen, so be it. Sandra, I've heard your prayer, and the answer's on its way. Amen, so be it. No, oh God, I just don't know. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think you're going to answer my prayer. I don't think you've heard. I better fast and pray. I better pray 20 times. No. His answers are all yes and amen. And I need to say the amen. I need to agree. So amen means so be it. Bring it on, God. I agree. I agree with you. We have to agree that God wants to bless us and not sit in doubt and unbelief thinking, I don't think God will do this for me. Or we may not see the blessing. So God's saying in that scripture, it's an amazing scripture, that's from the Amplified, that all the promises of God in Christ are all answered yes. If he's promised it, then yes. And we need to say the amen. 1 Peter 2:29 says this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." Folks, we can't get much more blessed than that. We're God's own people. We are God's own people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. This says we're a chosen generation. God's got a plan for this generation. And if we're all alive in it, we're part of this generation. Just check the person beside you is still alive. They're still breathing. That's good. Then they're part of this generation. This is not just for some people in history, way back hundreds and thousands of years ago. God has got an amazing plan for this church, an amazing plan for it in this generation. We are the history makers of today. So find out what God's plan is for you. Find out what it is. Believe for something special. Don't believe for nothing. Because if we believe for nothing, we might just get it. We need to be able to say amen to something that God's promised. And not just all the complaints and the doubts and the unbelief and I don't think I'm good enough and he'll never do it for me. If you don't think you're good enough, just get in line behind me because none of us are good enough except that we stand in Christ. And we're in the promises of Christ. And we can claim them because he said yes, but we need to say the amen. We need to say we agree. Sometimes we need to change the way we see ourselves because we are blessed by God. Don't let the enemy tell you anything other than the fact that you are a child of God. We need to be able to say yes to our identity in Christ. But the problem is, do we know who we are in Christ? Do we know our identity? Do we know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ? And everyone said, yes. Do we know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us? Yes. That we're seated in heavenly places with Christ? Yes. In the spirit realm, we are not under the enemy's feet. He's under our feet. We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. It might seem too good to be true, but it is true nonetheless, and we need to say amen to it. I believe it, so be it. We need to believe who we are in Christ and believe God's promises are for us. So find out what God said yes to and start believing it. Start speaking it over our lives. 2 Timothy 1 in verse 9 talks about God. It says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began. Wow, God's called us with a holy calling, not because we are good enough, not according to our works. In other words, not because of anything that we might have achieved, but because he has purposed it. He's put it in place before time began. Even before you were born, God's plan was set in motion. A plan for your destiny was in God's heart, and it's still there. No matter who's tried to destroy your destiny, the plan of God is still there. So God knows exactly what he's talking about when he said this to Jeremiah. And I know you can quote this back at me, but God knows what he's talking about, and we need to know too. Jeremiah, actually it should be 29:11. Jeremiah, that's a mistake there. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." That's not just a nice little verse to put in a birthday card or an anniversary card, that or a baptismal card. That's the word of God. And God knows what he's talking about, that he's got plans for us. And they're Bobby Dazzlers. They're fantastic plans. And all we have to do is believe that God's got a good plan for us and say yes to it. Never forget God saying yes to all the promises he's already made in his word. So we need to read it, and we need to find the promise that is for us, and then start to declare it. And if people try to come along and steal your promise, turn around and say no to them. Because you're saying yes to God. Because when God says yes, it's a firm yes. He doesn't change his mind on it. He's not double-minded. I've got two more scriptures for you. Luke 1 and verse 37. For with God nothing is or ever shall be impossible. It says nothing's impossible for God. So the promises that you're holding on to are perfectly possible because nothing's impossible. If it lines up with the word of God, it is perfectly possible. Turn and say to someone today, your dream is perfectly possible. Your dream is perfectly possible. So don't doubt it because God doesn't doubt what he can do. We're the ones that doubt it, not God. God wants to do more for us than we have ever thought possible. So we need to change our thinking. If God said it's possible, stop doubting it. Here's my last revelation for today. Doubting the promises of God means we're listening to the lies of the enemy. That's simple as that. If we're doubting that God's got a good plan for us and it's to prosper us and not to harm us, and we're listening to anything else, then we're listening to the lies of the enemy. We need to say no to every thought of doubt and unbelief and say yes to the blessings of God. So here's something to ponder over this week, or just to ask you right now. What was God referring to when he said nothing's impossible? Not expecting you to answer, but just think about that. What was God referring to when he said in that scripture that we've just read, Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is or ever shall be impossible. What was he referring to? Well, we need to look at the very next verse to find out. So let's look at Luke 1 and verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the NIV says, may your word to me be fulfilled. This was a young girl called Mary, okay? And God gave her a promise. And it didn't look very likely. In fact, it looked pretty impossible. But she believed God. And she said, let your word, God, be fulfilled in me. I'm not sure how it will happen. And I'm not sure when it will happen. But I believe God. So it will happen. Mary had the right attitude. Do we have the right attitude, or do we need to do something about it and stop speaking out the negatives? Now, this was no small thing that she'd been promised, because an angel had just told her that she was going to have a baby, but she'd never been with a man. Not only that, this baby would be the Son of God. Well, I just put that in the too hard basket right there. Okay, let's just put that in the impossible basket. But God just said, nothing will ever be impossible with me if you're standing, Sandra, on the promises that are in my word. It was physically impossible in her experience. Okay, I'm going to bring another revelation right here, but I promise this is my last one. But we serve a God who is greater than our experience. Sometimes we need to put our experience behind us. Sometimes we need to stop living by our experience. Well, this has happened, Sandra, and it happened to my friend, and it happened to my grandparents, and so I'm quite sure it's going to happen to me. But we serve a God who was greater than the experience that Mary had had, and he's still greater than experience. And that's who we serve today. We serve the God who says yes, and if he says yes, it's a firm yes. Whatever your heart's desire is, if it's promised in his word, it is possible. Sarah had a baby at 90 years of age. Age is no barrier to God. He fulfilled her dream because age didn't come into it as far as God was concerned. Jesus walked on water. Naturally, it was impossible, but our God is not just natural. Our God is supernatural. So he could overcome the circumstances. He could overcome the experiences. He could overcome the doctor's report. He could overcome the bank balance. He could overcome all of these things. He can conquer any barrier. So if you've got an unfulfilled dream, start believing God and let your yes be yes to the promises that he has for you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.